just sitting there enjoying the song. Several things come to mind when Scotty sings it. We had it sang at my mother-in-law's funeral. Seems like it's the hardest time to worship when you're going through a hardship. It's the hardest time to worship. What comes to my mind is this portion of scripture when David and Bathsheba were making plans for their little boy. They had great plans for him. He was sick. The prophet told David he would be sick. In fact, the sickness was going to bring death. David thought he could change God's mind. It was a serious offense. He had Bathsheba's husband killed so he could have her. Man's attempt to get what God never intended for him to have. Are we any different than David? Sometimes we do everything we can to fight God because we want to have our own way. When you fight God, you're not going to win. Did I let the little ones go back? I guess I didn't. Go back to junior church. You can go back, send them back. They'll have Bible studies that they'll understand just a little better than what we'll have out here. They present it in such a way that they can receive it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4. I've been really enjoying this study, more so than any study I've ever had on James. Been able to give the time that's necessary to have it. I'm using several different sources. We've already had a study in the book of James in one of our Bible studies, so I'm going to use a little introduction taken from our Bible study book. The central truth in this particular passage is friendship with the world is enmity with God. Heavenly Father, it's now time to share your precious word and help me to do so to make it clear and simple that we can all grasp the truth and understand its meanings. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to live a Christian life. We must understand that there must be a separation from the world and all of its contaminations. You must understand how the Apostle Paul must have thought if he considered marriage a distraction. Imagine what he'd think today of all the distractions, huh? If he thought marriage was a distraction, Lord knows how many distractions we have today. They're all over. The devil is always competing to try to get your worship. He's doing all he can. And at the time, sometimes it might look like he's winning. But I can assure you he's not. Because I've looked at the end of the book and I know who's on the winning side. So it might look like he's winning, but he's not. Habitual friendship with the world is grounded in human wisdom. And of course, it will lead to conflicts. It will impede your spiritual growth. That's just a fancy word that it will stun your growth. And we need to draw near to the Lord. And we do that by humbly drawing near to him. The word that's used in the Greek here for world is kosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. It doesn't refer to this physical sphere of the earth or the universe, but it refers to the man-centered, Satan-directed system of this present age, which is hostile, by the way, to God and to you. This system is self-centered. It's a godless value system, full of moral contamination. The goal of the world is self-glory, self-fulfillment, self-indulgence, self-satisfaction, in every form of self-serving. Watch the commercials. List them, write them down. All have to do with our bodies. You owe it to yourself, the world says. You deserve it. But the Bible says, deny yourself. Quite a difference, isn't there? It's always opposite. In the world's philosophy and ideology, it might appear to be very attractive, very appealing. Satan does all he can to make it look that way. But I can tell you, it's very evil, very harmful, very ruinous, and satanic. And if we're to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, if we want these things, we need to seek the Lord first and put him first, and all these things will be added unto you. But seek first the what? The kingdom of God, and all these things, material things that the Lord already knows you have need of. He knows you have need of them. He's not stupid. He's been around a long time. Remember, he made the hummingbird that our smart people can't figure out why it should fly. Because according to the bird and the way it's made, it shouldn't fly. But it flies. Because God's the creator. And I can tell you, if the Lord would so will it, he can make an elephant fly. Do you know they hide in trees? Do you ever see an elephant hide in a tree? I never did either. That's because they're good at it. Ha ha ha, I caught you. Now, I happened to see that in New York when my granddaughter was working on an art project in New York. Yeah, there was a little sign there. It said when you went in, do you know that elephants hide in trees? No, I didn't know that. Well, they're so good at it, nobody else has seen them either. Then I finally got it. Bing, the light came on. All right. Are you with me? James chapter 4. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Notice the word there, those two words, among you. James isn't talking about outside the church walls. He's talking about you and me. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts and that war in your members? Now that's not talking about church members. In fact, I will show you what members it's talking about. I'm going to go back to Romans to give it to you. Romans chapter 7 and verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So my spirit is saved, but my body is being saved. It's being saved. The word that we use for that is sanctification. That's the process. of allowing the Holy Spirit, that by the way lives in here, the Holy Spirit living in me to help me make the right decisions about things in life. And Lord knows as many times I've made wrong decisions. They weren't the right ones. And the Lord's helped me, as he has helped you, to make the right decisions. Wars and fightings and quarrels, they cause conflicts. They come about because our passions are uncontrolled, so is our desires. And these desires come from the heart. They're the source of every evil act, by the way, that's ever taken place. James says, why are so many of you hostile and contentious in your attitude toward each other? The fight is between the carnal nature that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. Remember that whole struggle? When I want to do good, evil's present. The fight's between the carnal nature and the Spirit of God who dwells within. Lusting after worldly things. Materialism, lust for power, lust for pleasure, lust for riches. The Lord says, I know that you have desire for these things. I know there's things that you're going to need in your life. I know that. I will supply them for you. But seek me first, and I'll take care of all these other things that you're so concerned about. Seek me first. Seek the Lord. Put his kingdom first in your life. If you want to get direction in your life, put the Lord first in your life, and he will direct you. Proverbs says so. You want direction in your life? Put him first. Seek the Lord. Talk to him. He hears you. He hears you. He hears everything. He sees everything. Lusting for power and pleasure and riches. These are the carnal desires that rage within. And they will stun the spiritual life. Let's look at verse 2 now. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. Wow. I remember all the way back in the beginning of the scriptures there where King Ahab, remember the story? He wanted Naboth's vineyard because it was right next to his place, right next to the palace. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. He said, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs because it's near to my house. I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it would seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give this inheritance of my fathers to thee. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat bread. Jezebel, his wife, came in and said to him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? He said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said to him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? She's reminding him he's the king, by the way. You can get what you want. Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them. Gee, I wonder if Ahab ever read them. Probably not. And sent the letters to the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. She wrote in the letters, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him. Yes, so you will lie and bear false witness against him, saying that thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And yes, then Ahab, you can have your vineyard. Does that tell you what you should be hearing? We're living in that day. People want to do whatever they want to do. They want what they want. They do whatever they got to do to get it. You lust and you have not. You desire to have and you can't obtain it. You fight, you do whatever you can to get it, but you ask not. What's the asking? We're living in a prayerless society. Prayerless. Today seems difficult to pray, to ask. We'd rather just take it first, pray later. Huh? Isn't that what it seems like? I'll steal it and ask forgiveness later. Greasy grace, I call that. You know better. With people living today on the edge, doing whatever they want to do, and think that they can ask for forgiveness and boom, boom, bingo, and God does forgive. But he also knows that you were thinking about doing it that way anyway. Doing, getting what you want, and ask forgiveness later. Thin line to walk on. Selfishness. I think selfishness is the cause of all kinds of conflicts and discords. Is it not shameful that such things exist in the family of God? If any of you ever settle in an estate, you'll find out what selfishness is all about. That's one that really comes out. Your lusts are the source of the problem. Our own desires, our own selfish interests, our own carnal sensual appetites, by not consulting with God, pretty much asking God to step aside, not committing our way to the Lord, and so therefore we'll meet with continual disappointments. Verse 3, you still with me? You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Someone tell me what amiss is. Help me teach this. What you consider amiss? Something that's not in God's will. Lord, if you'll let me win the lottery, I'll give that money all away. Hello. What amiss? Consuming it in our own lusts. Something that we really want. And we just think, well, just add the Lord's blessing to it yet. Sad. It comes from Christian hearts that are unattended and undisciplined. Nothing will kill our desires to pray more than to get on, than to get wrapped up and obsessed with a desire for things. That's easy to do. I told you this story before, and I'll tell you again. I had a neighbor that was retired, not talking about Jed. I had another neighbor that was retired, and he had all kinds of things. I mean, if there was anything I wanted to use, he always had it. I hated borrowing stuff because I'd usually end up breaking it and had to buy him one anyway. But I remember making a statement. Boy, I wished I could be like that. You know what the Bible calls that? Covetousness. And the Lord allowed me to witness his sale. I think the Lord really wanted me to see it for what it is. And I saw all his material things that I had such a desire to have. You know how the auctioneer goes, well, who will give me a quarter? Can somebody start it out with a quarter? Yeah, 25 here, 50 there, dollar there, two, three, four. And I watched all these material things just vanish. The Lord really wanted to send a message to me. Don't set your eyes on these things. They're just things. But he had them all. He was handy. Yeah, I know. But he couldn't take any of them with. He left them all behind. It was a lesson he wanted to show me. Don't be so attached to things because somebody's going to get a good deal on them because you're not going to need them where you're going. Prayers went unanswered because they sought personal gratification, disregarding God's will, only to pray amiss, unrestful and unsatisfied, wrong motives, wrong manners brought wrong ends. Verse 4, the Lord likens it to an adulteress. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity? Is against God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whew, that's pretty strong. I don't want to be an enemy of God. Then get your eyes off of things. Because you don't let them all behind someday. Everything. Every Christian should be able to know the devastating effects of sin simply by observation or perhaps reflection. Did you have things in your own life? You made wrong decisions and realized that it ain't based on things. Put Jesus first in your life. We shouldn't have to learn by personal experience, although I've learned quite a few things from personal experience, but I wouldn't have had to. Why is it when you tell a child, don't touch that burner, it's hot? What do? Some have to learn by experience. You don't have to. You can learn by observation or reflection. Those would be good ways to learn. We shouldn't have to learn by experience. Don't be motivated by worldly desires which lead you to become an enemy of God. The world system is built around man's ability to help himself. That's why man is confronted with God when he can't get his way, and in essence, he tells God to just step aside. I'll get this. Whew, big mistake when you tell God to step aside. I'll get this. Whew. I can tell you I've tried that. I basically didn't tell him to step aside, but I told him I'll get this. I'll take care of this problem. A problem that I thought I could take care of really got worse. It got that bad that he wanted to be sure that I learned by experience that I can't fix this. And he made sure I couldn't fix it because he didn't want me to trust in myself. He wanted me to just simply trust in him. That's what he was waiting to hear all along. I can't fix this. I know. I told you you couldn't fix it. And I wanted you to rely on me all along. What peace can there be among men so long as there is enmity towards God? Here, it's likened to an adulterer. How would you feel if you were told after years of marriage that your spouse had been cheating on you? How would you handle that? Not very good. So why does James liken this marriage relationship in this text? Because whenever you seek the things of this world more than God, you're cheating on them. Now, if you wouldn't like to hear that about your spouse, then why have you been cheating on God? You see, God feels the same way when we cheat on him by going after worldly things. Are you catching this? Are you understanding this? Are you getting it? God has allowed certain of you to acquire certain things. Some of us haven't been allowed to acquire them. But you know what the question is going to be when you stand before him? Do you know what it's going to be? I have allowed you all of these things to come into your life. What have you done with these things for the kingdom of heaven? What have you done with them? How will the scales weigh? How will they balance? I've allowed you these things for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Have you used them to help more people find heaven as their home? I hope that you have. I pray and trust that you have. As your pastor, I really hope that you have. Because I want to see you in heaven with all those wonderful things that he's spoken about. In John, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. He said this to his disciples before he left. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So I ask you, what does he have to prepare? Hasn't it already been prepared? Why must he go and work on it? Because you're still here. He's got some things he's got to do that'll be dependent upon you. What do you do with your things? Because he knows what he's going to do with his. I've seen things in this passage I've never seen before. And I thank the Lord for revealing it. Unfaithfulness would be repulsive to those offended, to the offended party. An affair with the world should cause shame and remorse. Could you imagine God's word going forth without purpose or direction? That's what verse 5 says. We'll catch that on our next gathering. I'll put a line there so I know where to start. Okay. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Roger, I feel this message spoke to my heart. Sometimes I've allowed things to get in the way of my service to the Lord. And I need to let loose and not have such a tight grip on them. Would you say that was you? Would you raise your hand? Say that was you. Would you admit that? Look, there's hands going up everywhere. Thank you. They're going up everywhere. Thank you. Thank you for being honest with the Lord. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, who I just feel inadequate today, standing before all these many wonderful people that have been honest with you today. They're honest with you. Yeah, there's times that I've had too pretty much of a grip on material things. I know I had. And you let me see how quickly they were dissolved. Then I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And Lord, I'm still sorry to even today. Sometimes it's easy for me to get my eyes on other things like Peter did, and he sank. He took his eyes off of you, and that's what I've done. I've took my eyes off of you different times in my life. And I thought it would be better if it would have did this or done that. And I'm sorry. Because, Lord, I know that you love me more than the sparrows. I am more important to you than the sparrows or the lilies of the field. And I don't want to charge you of neglect because I know, Lord, that you love me dearly. And you love each and every one of these dearly. And they, Lord, have put their hand up and said, Lord, they need some help in this area. Help me to get my eyes more on you. Help me to get my eyes more on you. And Lord, I know that you'll just take care of all the other stuff that sometimes I wrestle with and I sometimes are anxious about it and I worry about some of these things. And I know I shouldn't be worrying about them because I know that you're going to take care of them too. You're going to take care of all that. Those things that I find myself thinking and worrying about, you're going to take care of. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that I haven't looked to you. I'm sorry that I didn't rely on you. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive these as well. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for this wonderful word today that has spoke to my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue, let your Holy Spirit continue to work in each of us, that we may die to these old foolish ways and desires in our body, that we must serve you and serve you with all that's within us, with mind, body, and soul. Help us each and every one to serve you as we should be serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord bless you.